We often think of memory as needing, well, a brain, right? You know, remembering names, faces, past events.
Sure, complex cognition.
But what if the ability to sort of remember a stressful time and prepare for the next one wasn't just for us or creatures with nervous systems?
What if it extended way beyond that?
Yeah, like what if bacteria or fungi or even plants and simple sea creatures had their own way of getting a preview of hardship and bracing themselves?
That's exactly the idea of biological priming we're exploring today. It's this fascinating area.
So forget the brain for this deep dive. We're looking at how really fundamental biology lets organisms, you know, think of a muscle on a rock or even a single bacterium, show a kind of stress memory.
Exactly. They sense an initial stress, maybe a bit of heat or a pathogen, and then they respond better, more efficiently if it happens again. Yeah. Or sometimes even if a different kind of stress comes along.
It's like a built-in preparedness system.
A very elegant one, yeah.
And to dig into this, we've got some great source material. There's a review article that kind of lays out the big picture for priming in these brainless organisms.
And then we've got several specific research papers looking closely at marine mollusks, oysters, and mussels, mainly facing things like heat waves or disease.
Plus a little bit on sea anemones, too, which are surprisingly tough.
Yeah, they are. So our mission really is to look at the evidence. Do these organisms really show priming? And if so, how on earth do they do it?
How does a plant remember a drought or a mussel remember heat? What are the actual mechanisms?
Okay, let's start with the basics. What exactly is priming in this context?
Well, the review article gives a good framework, particularly for bacteria, fungi, and plants. It basically says they can adjust their whole state, their phenotype.
Their observable characteristic.
Right. Based on past experiences, so they're better equipped for future stress. It's like, okay, been there, done that. Next time I'll be ready.
And it's interesting, as you mentioned, priming is the term we're using. But you see related ideas like adaptation, acclimation, acquired resistance. Nature seems to have figured this out in a few different ways.
Yeah, different labels for similar survival strategies.
One really helpful distinction the review makes is between cis priming and trans priming.
Okay, what's the difference there?
So cis priming is specific. The trigger stress and the later stress are the same kind of thing. Think of a plant getting a mild whiff of a particular pathogen.
Uh-huh.
And then being much better at fighting off a full-blown infection by that same pathogen later. Mm-hmm. It's a direct memory, like, I know this enemy.
Got it. Specific threat, specific prime defense. So what's trans priming?
Trans priming is broader. The initial stress primes the organism for a different kind of stress later on.
Oh, interesting.
The example they give is drought stress, making grasses more tolerant to frost. Two totally different challenges, right? Heat and lack of water versus cold.
Wow. So going through one tough time makes them generally tougher.
Kind of, yeah. It suggests there are some shared defense pathways or a general alert state that gets activated. Like you said earlier, a general resilience.
Okay, that makes sense. But the big question is, how do they remember without a brain? What's storing this information?
Right. And this is where it gets really fascinating at the molecular level. The review points to some key mechanisms, especially in plants.
Epigenetics comes up a lot, doesn't it?
It does. Epigenetic memory. Basically, changes that affect how genes are used without changing the underlying DNA sequence itself.
Like adding notes in the margin of the DNA instruction book.
That's a great analogy. The review mentions histone modifications, that's changes to the proteins DNA wraps around, and DNA methylation, which is adding little chemical tags directly onto the DNA.
And these changes can make genes easier or harder to switch on?
Exactly. So after an initial stress, these epigenetic marks might flag the key defense genes. They essentially say, remember this one, it was important.
So when the stress comes back,
the cell can activate those flagged genes much faster. The defenses are already primed and ready to go.
Makes sense. Like having your tools laid out.
Precisely. The review also mentions another cool idea in plants called stalled RNA polymerase II.
Okay.
RNA polymerase is the machine that reads DNA to make RNA, the first step in making a protein. The idea is that after a stress like drought, this machine might get paused or stalled right at the beginning of important defense genes.
So it's ready to go, like, instantly if the drought returns.
Yeah, like having your finger hovering over the start button. It's another potential way to speed up the response next time.
And they even mentioned this could be passed down, transgenerational priming.
Yes. There's evidence, especially with DNA methylation in plants, that the memory of stress experienced by a parent could potentially influence how the offspring respond to stress.
Wow. Like giving your kids a survival heads up based on your own life.
It really broadens how we think about inheritance, doesn't it? Beyond just the genes themselves. Now, the review notes, we know a bit less about the specifics in bacteria, but it involves changes in their chromosome structure and gene activity, too.
Okay, so that's the general idea and some potential mechanisms. Let's see how this plays out in the ocean with the mollusks. Heat stress is a big one there, right?
Absolutely. Marine heat waves are becoming a huge issue. One study looked at pearl oysters, Pinctada maxima.
What did they find?
Well, initially, short, intense heat waves were bad news. Increased mortality, lots of biochemical signs of stress.
How bad?
At 36 degrees Celsius, 100% mortality within 24 hours. Just wipe them out.
Yikes. That really shows their limit.
It does. But here's the priming part. When they exposed the oysters to repeated but less severe heat waves, mortality was lower, and the stress responses were actually dialed down. It suggests they could acclimate quite quickly, like a stress inoculation, as the researchers